Act III of Romeo and Juliet by William Shakespeare. Scene IV. A room in Capulet's house. Enter Capulet, Lady Capulet, and Paris.
Things have fallen out, sir, so unluckily that we have had no time to move our daughter. Look you, she loved her kinsman Tybalt dearly, and so did I. Well, we were born to die. 'Tis very late. She'll not come down to-night. I promise you, but for your company, I would have been in bed an hour ago.
These times of woe afford no tune to woo. Madam, good night. Commend me to your daughter.
I will, and know her mind early to-morrow. To-night she's mewed up to her heaviness.
Sir Paris, I will make a desperate tender of my child's love. I think she will be ruled in all respects by me. Nay, more, I doubt it not. Wife, go you to her ere you go to bed. Acquaint her here of my son Paris's love, and bid her, mark you me, on Wednesday next. But soft, what day is this?
Monday, my lord.
Monday, ah, well, Wednesday is too soon. Thursday let it be. A Thursday, tell her. She shall be married to this noble earl. Will you be ready? Do you like this haste? We'll keep no great ado, a friend or two. For, hark you, Tybalt being slain so late, it may be thought we held him carelessly, being our kinsman, if we revel much. Therefore we'll have some half a dozen friends, and there an end. But what say you to Thursday?
My lord, I would that Thursday were to-morrow.
Well, get you gone. A Thursday be it, then. Go you to Juliet ere you go to bed. Prepare her, wife, against this wedding day. Farewell, my lord. Light to my chamber, ho! Afore me, it is so very, very late that we may call it early by and by. Good night.
Exit. Scene V. An open gallery to Juliet's chamber, overlooking the garden. Enter Romeo and Juliet.
Wilt thou be gone? It is not yet near day. It was the nightingale and not the lark that pierced the fearful hollow of thine ear. Nightly she sings on yond pomegranate tree. Believe me, love, it was the nightingale.
It was the lark, the herald of the morn, no nightingale. Look, love, what envious streaks do lace the severing clouds in yonder east. Night's candles are burnt out, and jocund day stands tiptoe on the misty mountain tops. I must be gone and live, or stay and die.
Yon light is not daylight, I know it, I. It is some meteor that the sun exhales to be to thee this night a torch-bearer, and light thee on the way to Mantua. Therefore stay yet, thou needst not to be gone.
Let me be ta'en, let me be put to death. I am content, so thou wilt have it so. I'll say yon grey is not the morning's eye, 'tis but the pale reflex of Cynthia's brow, nor that is not the lark whose notes do beat the faulty heavens so high above our heads. I have more care to stay than will to go. Come, death, and welcome. Juliet wills it so. How is't, my soul? Let's talk. It is not day.
It is. It is. Hie, hence, begone, away! It is the lark that sings so out of tune, straining harsh discords and unpleasing sharps. Some say the lark makes sweet division. This doth not so, for she divideth us. Some say the lark and loathed toad change eyes. Oh, now I would they had changed voices, too, since arm from arm that voice doth us affray, hunting thee hence with hunts up to the day. Oh, now be gone, more light and light it grows.
More light and light, more dark and dark our woes.
Enter nurse.
Madam!
Nurse?
Your lady mother is coming to your chamber. The day is broke. Be wary. Look about.
Exit.
Then, window, let day in and let life out.
Farewell, farewell! One kiss and I'll descend.
Descends.
Art thou gone so? My lord, my love, my friend, I must hear from thee every day of the hour. for in a minute there are many days. Oh, by this count I shall be much in years ere I again behold my Romeo.
Farewell. I will omit no opportunity that may convey my greetings, love, to thee.
Oh, think'st thou we shall ever meet again?
I doubt it not, and all these woes shall serve for sweet discourses in our time to come.
Oh, God, I have an ill-divining soul. Methinks I see thee now thou art below, as one dead in the bottom of a tomb. Either my eyesight fails, or thou look'st pale.
And trust me, love, in my eyes so do you. Dry sorrow drinks our blood. Adieu. Adieu.
Exit below.
Oh, fortune, fortune, all men call thee fickle. If thou art fickle, what dost thou with him that is renowned for faith? Be fickle, fortune, for then I hope thou wilt not keep him long, but send him back.
Within.
Who, daughter? Are you up?
Who is't that calls? Is it my lady mother? Is she not down so late, or up so early? What unaccustomed cause procures her hither?
Enter Lady Capulet.
Why, how now, Juliet?
Madam, I am not well.
Evermore weeping for your cousin's death? What, wilt thou wash him from his grave with tears? And if thou couldst not make him live. Therefore have done. Some grief shows much of love, but much of grief shows still some want of wit.
Yet let me weep for such a feeling loss.
So shall you feel the loss, but not the friend which you weep for.
Feeling so the loss, I cannot choose but ever weep the friend.
Well, girl, thou weep'st not so much for his death, as that the villain lives which slaughtered him.
What villain, madam?
That same villain, Romeo.
Villain and he be many miles asunder. God pardon him, I do, with all my heart, and yet no man like he doth grieve my heart.
That is because the traitor murderer lives.
I, madam, from the reach of these my hands, would none but I might venge my cousin's death.
We will have vengeance for it, fear thou not. Then weep no more. I'll send to one in Mantua, where that same banished runagate doth live. Shall give him such an unaccustomed dram that he shall soon keep Tybalt company, and then I hope thou wilt be satisfied.
Indeed I never shall be satisfied with Romeo till I behold him dead. Is my poor heart so for a kinsman vexed? Madam, if you could find out but a man to bear a poison, I would temper it, that Romeo should, upon receipt thereof, soon sleep in quiet. Oh, how my heart abhors to hear him named, and cannot come to him, to wreck the love I bore my cousin Tybalt upon his body that hath slaughtered him.
Find thou the means, and I'll find such a man. But now I'll tell thee joyful tidings, girl.
And joy comes well in such a needy time. What are they, I beseech your ladyship?
Well, well, thou hast a careful father, child, one who, to put thee from thy heaviness, hath sorted out a sudden day of joy, that thou expectest not, nor I looked out for.
Madam, in happy time, what day is that?
Marry, my child, early next Thursday morn, the gallant, young, and noble gentleman, the county Paris, at St. Peter's Church, shall happily make thee there a joyful bride.
Now by St. Peter's Church, and Peter too, he shall not make me there a joyful bride. I wonder at this haste, that I must wed ere he that should be husband comes to woo. I pray you tell my lord and father, madam, I will not marry yet, and when I do, I swear it shall be Romeo, whom you know I hate, rather than Paris. These are news indeed.
Here comes your father. Tell him so yourself, and see how he will take it at your hands.
Enter Capulet and nurse.
When the sun sets, the air doth drizzle dew, but for the sunset of my brother's son, it rains downright. How now, a candid girl, what still in tears? Evermore showering? In one little body thou counterfeit'st a bark, a sea, a wind. For still thy eyes, which I may call the sea, do ebb and flow with tears. The bark thy body is, sailing in this salt flood. The winds thy sighs, who, raging with thy tears, and they with them, without a sudden calm, will overset thy tempest-tossed body. How now, wife, have you delivered to her our decree?
Ay, sir, but she will none, she gives you thanks. I would the fool were married to her grave.
Soft. Take me with you. Take me with you, wife. How? Will she none? Doth she not give us thanks? Is she not proud? Doth she not count her blessed, unworthy as she is, that we have wrought so worthy a gentleman to be her bridegroom?
Not proud you have, but thankful that you have. Proud can I never be of what I hate, but thankful even for hate that is meant love.
How now, how now? Chop, logic, what is this? Proud, and I thank you, and I thank you not, and yet not proud? Mistress Minion, you thank me no thankings, nor proud me no prouds, but fettle your fine joints gainst Thursday next, to go with Paris to St. Peter's Church, or I will drag thee on a hurdle thither. Out, you green sickness carrion, out, you baggage, you tallow face.
Fie, fie, what are you, mad?
Good father, I beseech you, on my knees, hear me with patience, but to speak a word.
Hang thee, young baggage, disobedient wretch. I tell thee what, get thee to church a Thursday, or never after look me in the face. Speak not, reply not, do not answer me. My fingers itch. Wife, we scarce thought us blessed that God had lent us but this only child, but now I see this one is one too much, and that we have a curse in having her. Out on her, Hilding.
God in heaven bless her. You are to blame, my lord, to rate her so.
And why, my lady wisdom? Hold your tongue. Good prudence, smatter with your gossips. Go.
I speak no treason.
Oh, God ye gooden.
May not one speak?
Peace, you mumbling fool. Utter your gravity or a gossip's bowl, for here we need it not.
You are too hot.
God's bread, it makes me mad. Day, night, hour, time, tide, work, play, alone, in company, still my care hath been to have her matched. And having now provided a gentleman of noble parentage, of fair demeans, youthful, and nobly trained, stuffed, as they say, with honourable parts, proportioned as one's heart would wish a man. And then to have a wretched, puling fool, a whining mammet in her fortune's tender, to answer, I'll not wed, I cannot love, I am too young, I pray you pardon me. But an you will not wed, I'll pardon you. Graze where you will, you shall not house with me. Look to't, think on't, I do not use to jest. Thursday is near, lay hand on heart, advise, and you be mine. I'll give you to my friend, and you be not, hang, beg, starve, die i' the streets, for by my soul I'll ne'er acknowledge thee, nor what is mine shall never do thee good. Trust to't, bethink you, I'll not be forsworn.
Exit.
Is there no pity sitting in the clouds that sees into the bottom of my grief? Oh, sweet my mother, cast me not away. Delay this marriage for a month, a week, or if you do not, make the bridal bed in that dim monument where Tybalt lies.
Talk not to me, for I'll not speak a word. Do as thou wilt, for I have done with thee.
Exit.
Oh, God! Oh, nurse, how shall this be prevented? My husband is on earth, my faith in heaven. How shall that faith return again to earth, unless that husband send it me from heaven by leaving earth? Comfort me, counsel me. Alack, alack, that heaven should practice stratagems upon so soft a subject as myself. What sayst thou? Hast thou not a word of joy? Some comfort, nurse.
Faith, here 'tis. Romeo is banished, and all the world to nothing, that he dares ne'er come back to challenge you, or if he do, it needs must be by stealth. Then, since the case so stands as now it doth, I think it best you married with the county. Oh, he is a lovely gentleman. Romeo's a dish-clout to him. An eagle, madam, hath not so green, so quick, so fair an eye as Paris hath. Beshrew my very heart, I think you are happy in this second match, for it excels your first, or if it did not, your first is dead, or 'twere as good he were as living here, and you no use of him.
Speak'st thou this from thy heart?
And from my soul too, or else beshrew them both.
Amen.
What?
Well, thou hast comforted me marvellous much. Go in, and tell my lady I am gone, having displeased my father to Lawrence's cell, to make confession and to be absolved.
Marry, I will, and this is wisely done.
Exit.
Ancient damnation! O most wicked fiend! Is it more sin to wish me thus forsworn, or to dispraise my lord with that same tongue which she hath praised him with above compare so many thousand times? Go, counsellor, thou and my bosom henceforth shall be twain. I'll to the friar to know his remedy. If all else fail, myself have power to die.
Exit. End of Act 3.